We've had a fantastic week this week, and we're glad to have all of our kids in the house with us today. And it's just an exciting time to wrap up our family camp. And they've been blessed this week, learned a lot. And we have asked Josh to stay over and speak to us this Sunday, and super excited. We had such a great time last night visiting and hanging out together. And so I just want him to come, and let's get ready to have a good time. Y'all ready to have a good time? All right, come on, let's give him a hand as he comes.
All right. Can I do something before we start real quick? Can I get everyone just to close their eyes? Close your eyes. Even if you're a youth, you can close your eyes. And just as we close our eyes, can we please just ask Jesus, where are you in this room? Where are you in this room? Where are you in my life? Where are you in this room, Lord Jesus? Just see where he is in this room, what he's doing, what he's saying. Is he saying something to you? Is he giving you something? Is he speaking specific words in your heart and your mind about you? Where do you see Jesus in this room? What is he doing? Let's take a moment. I feel like Jesus is handing people some stuff. Maybe stuff that you really need. And maybe he's taking away some stuff from people, but I specifically see him handing people stuff. I feel like he's handing gifts, even. Gifts in the sense of you need something from him. I keep seeing dollar bills actually handed to people. I feel like that heart that was just in the hilarious giving, the Lord wants to give you back stuff. It's not like something where if you give him something, he gives you something. It's a position of your heart, and he just loves to give, and that's what a father does. I just see him giving dollar bills to people. I keep seeing that Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord, for he commands you to have wealth. I just keep feeling that. Who is it over some people? I feel like there's a job. I keep seeing a job handed to somebody. There's a raise that's being handed. Just that declaration that we prayed earlier in the tithes and offering, I feel like the Lord is handing a raise to somebody specific. There's an opportunity for a raise, and he's handing somebody a raise. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I keep seeing something else. I think I might wait to the end and have Michelle and maybe Tim pray over people. I feel like there are people in a financial maybe situation, and you're trying to get out of it. You're trying to leapfrog out of the financial situation. You're trying to jump out of it. Maybe you feel like you're in a little bit of a pit, and you're surrounded by maybe debt or something of this situation, and you need a financial place where you can launch yourself out of it and into a place where you can walk again without something tied around your legs and move forward. I think we might wait to the end and maybe pray for some people that feel maybe that way financially or in their situation, and have a couple people specifically pray over that specific situation. Okay, you can open your eyes if you haven't already opened your eyes. And we can put up those scriptures on the board now if you want to, or if you can. How are we doing? Great. I'm going to ask you for one thing this morning, and that's if you have seen the World Cup final this morning with France playing Croatia, do not tell me at the end of this service what the score was. I'm recording. Do not tell me at all what happened in this game, because I'm recording it, and I want to watch it later on in peace without any blemish of thought for the World Cup final. Okay, I want to do something. We've been talking about dreams through Family Week. The title of it was Dreaming with God, which Pastor Angela, brought and felt like she heard from the Lord. And I had a wonderful encounter with Pastor Angela actually at Kids Ramp. And I was talking about dreams from the pulpit at the Ramp during a Ramp conference. And we connected after that session, and I'm here, and I'm so grateful. I thank you so much for connecting me with this house and with the pastors of this house too as well. I really, really appreciate it. Please give just one more time Angela a clap, just for the sake of my sake. Really, thank you so much. I really am so happy to be here and connected. I love Louisiana. We've been doing, the Ramp has been sending down teams to Mardi Gras. We sent down 167 people Just last Mardi Gras, 167 students, really. Last Mardi Gras, we're going to be there again. We're just excited about what the Lord is doing in Louisiana. We really do feel, I mean, not just saying it, we really do feel the Lord is doing something in Louisiana. We have dreams about it. We have a lot of dreams about it. So we really do appreciate everyone that's here, because I know the Lord is doing something great, and he's doing something great in you. Does that make sense? But let me do something. I'm going to take my time. If you have a pen and paper or an iPad or a phone, I constantly check my phone when I have scriptures come to my mind or different things. So I always have my phone on me. But I would take out your phone or an iPad or a pen and paper. We're going to actually talk about dreams again today. We've been doing, of course, this dream with God. We're going to talk about it today, too. And I'm going to go through something that I really picked up from a guy named John Paul Jackson. He was a spiritual father to me. I was very close with him. He is the head of Streams Ministries. He passed away a few years ago. But a good buddy of mine is a part of is the president now at Streams. And I like to teach this topic. It's basically 20 categories of dreams. So this is going to be a teaching session. We're going to do plenty of ministry at the end. But unlike the last session where it was more on the fire of the Lord and we did a fire tunnel and we went a different direction, I feel like actually to teach in this session, and it's going to be about 20 categories, 20 different types of dreams. Now, there's more probably than 20 categories of dreams. I actually have come up with four of my own that are beyond John Paul Jackson's. And so there's more than just 20 categories, but I really love this. I've added a whole lot to it and made it my own thing, but these 20 categories kind of sum up majority of dreams that you might have. And when I talk about 20 categories of dreams, also there's something in 20 categories that also opens the door to dreaming more. It just happens all the time. Every time I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to open up a can of dreams in the room, in a community, I always feel the Lord push me on 20 categories. And so we're going to go through all kinds of different dreams that are what you may have. So let me kind of jump into that, but let me kind of put down a little bit of a context first. Can we get the whole thing of Job? Oh, we probably can't. Never mind. Job 33:14. Let's put that down. Job 33:14. It's really 14 through 17, but let's just put this down. For it says this, "For God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it." Go to the next part. "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon the people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings." I'll get to that in a little bit. Keep going. "To turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from their pride." Then his disciples approach Jesus. Oh, sorry, this is the next one. So that's really pretty much it. Job 33:14 through 17. Write that down, because that's really important, because it specifically talks about one of the reasons why the Lord speaks in dreams, but how he does it. So dreams that are from the Lord come externally. And there's basically three sources of dreams. A dream can come from the Lord, and those dreams are going to be more bright and colorful. Dreams can come from the devil, or a bully. I call the devil a bully. So some type of spirit. And those dreams are going to be more in darkened or have covered over of the darkness. Or, which is one of the categories of dreams, you could have a dream that's kind of in midnight tone, where you're in a dream and it's like midnight or late at night and it seems kind of dark. We call those dreams the plan of the enemy, seeing the plan of the enemy. And those can also be from the devil, or the devil could be doing something that you see. So that can be from the devil. So usually dreams that come from the devil are more black and white. They can be more gray tone in general. Or you can have dreams. Jeremiah talks about this. Zechariah talks about this. He actually says at one point, "You fools, you dream your own dreams." So you can dream up something that you really want that's in your heart and in your mind that's not from the Lord, but maybe actually destructive, and you can dream your own dreams. So there's three sources of dreams, one from God, one from the devil, and one from yourself. But a lot of dreams can come from the Lord. The Lord does speak often in dreams. We see in the first two chapters of Matthew, five dreams around Jesus' life. We see a warning dream that's similar to what we saw in Job. We see a warning dream happen to Pontius Pilate's wife, where she dreams all through the night, warning her not to crucify a righteous man, not to judge a righteous man. You see this with Pontius Pilate's wife, and she comes to Pontius Pilate and she says, "Don't crucify this man." And then she declares, "He's a righteous man. He's never sinned." She says that through dreams. So Jesus' life is covered with dreams. And then you see prophets. When Abraham hears a voice and he comes out of the world and he starts moving with God, you see it in Genesis 15, the Lord speaks to him in a vision, an open vision. Then he comes to him, he puts him in a deep sleep, and he starts talking to him through a dream about his future. He specifically wants to talk to Abraham about his future through a dream. He starts to dream about there's going to be 400 years of persecution in Egypt, and then you're going to have deliverance and then come into your promised land. The big thing that was a promise to him about his future, he saw in a dream, his future. And then you keep going, and he has more dreams around his life, but you keep going, and you see Jacob. Jacob has multiple dreams around his life. He has a dream that's a calling dream, which is one of the dreams we'll talk about. And a calling dream is where he sees a ladder going from heaven to earth and angels ascending and descending. And he's a calling dream that he is a child of God, and he's given a new name in that dream. He has a dream also where he changes up totally how he's going to do business with the spotted and the speckled. And he didn't believe that. He didn't believe he could do that. It was not in his theology to see that a spotted and speckled could be done a certain way, could be multiplied in a certain way. He thought they were disgusting and gross of his culture. But in a dream, he's encouraged to do this in a specific way. Jacob has loads of dreams. Laban has a dream not to touch Jacob. There's loads of dreams around Jacob's life. You see this with Abraham, you see it with Jacob, and you see it with Joseph. We all know that Joseph has dreams. Joseph has dreams about his destiny too. A calling dream that's going to step into his destiny. And Joseph gets so formed in understanding dreams and has a spirit of wisdom to understand dreams that later on he starts to interpret dreams. And you just keep seeing it go and go and go. One of the greatest judges in the book of Judges, Gideon, is encouraged by a Midianite having a dream of a big loaf of bread rolling down a hill and destroys the camp of the Midianites. The Midianite has that dream, not a Christian, not the saved person, but the Midianite has that dream, and it so encourages Gideon, it so builds him up that he says, let's go to war now, and they do, and they win. And it sets the tone for Gideon's ministry or his being a judge for the rest of his life is off that dream, off that encouragement dream that came in. Anybody know why the Midianite had a dream of a barley loaf, a loaf of bread going down? He knew that was Gideon. Does anybody know why that would be something that the Midianites would think about that? It's actually in the Bible. It actually talks about it earlier. Does anybody know at all? I know it's a little bit different, and this is probably not the subject that comes up all the time, but Gideon was a bread maker. So when a loaf of barley bread went down the hill, they knew it was Gideon because he was a bread maker. That was his trade, because it was a metaphor or representation of Gideon. So that is a dream. So you see lots of dreams all through Scripture, all through dreams and visions, all through Scripture, and it's just packed. It's just the Scriptures are packed with dreams and visions. I said this earlier in family camp, but the dreams and visions are in the Bible are about a third of Scripture. Most scholars, not even Spirit-filled scholars, most scholars say that a third of Scripture has dreams and visions in it. That's a lot of Scripture. And think about it in another way. When you think about a third of Scripture, think about your life. Your life, you will dream a lot, or you will sleep a lot. Let me jump a little bit farther back. You will sleep a lot. You sleep about 8 hours. The average person sleeps around 8 hours a night. So by the time you're 60 years old, that is about 20 years of your life that you will be in sleep land. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Y'all hearing this? By the time you're 60 years old, you have slept around 20 years of your life. Do you want the Lord to speak to you in those 20 years? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's about a third of Scripture around dreams and visions, and you sleep about a third of your life. I think that's so interesting how much the Lord wants to speak to you and how much you dream where he can speak, right? You see it with Job 33. He seals his instructions. He terrifies you to warn you so you won't fall into the pit, right? He does those kinds of things. He warns Laban. He warns Abimelech against doing something towards Abraham. You see all these warnings that are healthy warnings, that are good warnings, so that he will bless you and you will not walk around with a curse. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? When revival breaks out, and the New Testament begins, you see this in Acts 2. What does it say in Acts 2? What does Peter say in Acts 2 when he's speaking of revival and the Spirit of God being poured out on all flesh? He then says, your young men will have visions and your old men will have dreams and you will prophesy. That's revival. Revival is you're prophesying and you're dreaming dreams and having visions. Does that make sense? It's a big deal to be led by the Spirit of God. That's Romans 8. To be led by the Spirit of God through dreams and visions. Dreams and visions are of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that comes on you and gives you dreams and visions that point to your purpose and destiny. I've never been a person that I've ever had an issue. Never have I had an issue in my entire life, before I was saved or after I was saved. But after I was saved, I never had an issue with trying to figure out my purpose. Because I started having dreams right away. And because I started to have this Spirit that started to understand it. But just because I start to understand it doesn't mean I can understand everything. But immediately the Lord got me around this guy, John Paul Jackson. And he helped me understand what the Lord was saying to me through dreams and visions. And so this is what I want to do. I want to bring more understanding, a spirit of understanding, a spirit of revelation, a spirit of wisdom to understand dreams and even dream more with the Lord. You are the sons and daughters of God who are led by the Spirit of God, so you are going to dream overwhelming. Does that make sense? Overwhelm yourself with dreaming with the heart and the mind of God. When you start dreaming the heart and the mind of God, you start releasing heaven on earth. You start connecting to the global plan of the Lord with the kingdom of God on the earth. That's what dreams and visions do. Dreams and visions inspire people. Albert Einstein's theory of relativity came through a succession of 16 dreams. Dreams do all kinds of things. All kinds of things. The song Yesterday by the Beatles, by Paul McCartney, came through a dream. He talks about it on live TV, on a TV interview. He sits there and talks about it. And he says, the guy asked him, how did you come up with this song Yesterday? And he says, I dreamed it. I actually dreamed the whole melody and everything through the night. All I did was wake up and start playing. Dreams do so much for musicians, for artists, for scientists. They bring answers and solutions to people for their business. I had a buddy of mine. I say a buddy, actually John Paul's that I met. And he was a businessman. He just bought this new big machinery for his business. And something fell apart about just a couple months later after he had this. Something fell apart with his machine and it stopped working. And this machine stopped working for him, was going to tank him, was going to put him in debt and stop the production of his work completely. So it started to freak him out. He could not figure out what was going on. They ran all these tests on this machinery to figure out what was the problem, why wasn't it working. And all of a sudden, one night, he had taken actually John Paul Jackson's class on dreams that actually I taught in, and taken that class, and then he's like, Lord, speak to me because I need a dream here or something to figure out what's going on with this machine. And that night, he had a dream, a word of knowledge dream that showed that in the dream, he walked up to his machine and he was led behind the machine. And then he looked under the machine and he saw these bolts in a certain very important piece that had fallen off with the racket. He had fallen off on the ground and he picked it up and he put it back together and put the bolts on it and the machine started working. Then he woke up from the dream. He then got up immediately from that dream. He had that dream coming up into the morning, woke up immediately, got up, put his clothes on, went to his factory where he had the machine and went and found those bolts that were missing laying on the ground exactly like his dream. Dreams are meant for the Lord to help you, to pastor you, to father you. The wonderful thing is about dreams is no other person's voice gets in the way. It's the voice of the Lord specifically pastoring his sons and daughters. It's a big deal. It's an awesome thing to have dreams and visions. So let me give you 20 categories of dreams. Now, again, these categories, they could run over. So in other words, you could have a warning dream and it could be a calling dream at the end of it. And we'll explain what both of those are, but you could have a dream and it also is pointing to something else or be like something else, but maybe the major point is more of a warning or more of a calling. Does that make sense? So again, just take it with in that engagement. Healing dreams. Number one, the first category of dreams is healing dreams. This might seem obvious. You might think of physical healing, and that can happen. There's a friend or a pastor friend that was still a pastor actually right now, and they were pastoring, and the wife actually got this bad dementia and depression, manic depression and a type of dementia, and so they left the ministry together. And after 14 years, Jesus appears in a dream, touches her right in the forehead like this. She wakes up from the dream. Jesus says, 14 years is enough, then touches her forehead, and it totally leaves her. She wakes up, and she has no more dementia, no more problems. They go back into the pastorate, and they're still pastoring today. So the Lord can heal in dreams. God can do anything he wants to do, but the Lord heals in dreams, and he loves to. You're his sons and your daughters. But this is also another area of healing dreams. Healing dreams can also have a lot of forgiveness in it. It's like heart issues, heart things, heart stuff going on. A pastor friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name. A pastor friend of mine, a very well-known ministry speaker, kept having this issue that he couldn't really figure out completely with this couple. And every time this couple would come to kind of meet him or say hello to him or connect with him, he would basically do anything else to kind of get around it. He would go check out the grass or, you know, I mean, go to the back room. He always had to go to the bathroom. Something happened where he kind of made up because he had this weird thing between this couple. And he ends up having this dream. This minister friend of mine has this dream where he saw basically the issue of why they are the way they are. And it so healed his heart towards that couple that now every time he engaged them, he actually did and was very comfortable with it. Where before he felt this weird thing, this wall that almost built up this avoidance in him towards the couple. But it healed his heart towards the couple so that he could engage them and understand them where they really were and really be healed in that relationship with them and really, you know, empower their life for their future. Does that make sense? So that's a healing dream. It's got lots of different types of things in it, but it has forgiveness in it. Joseph of the Bible, that is the father of Jesus, he has a healing dream in that sense. When he doesn't want to get married to Mary because she finds out she's pregnant, he has a dream that explains the whole thing, where he understands the whole thing, and it heals and restores their relationship so that they can move forward into the purposes of the Lord. So a healing dream can do a lot. Number two is a flushing dream. That's F-L-U-S-H-I-N-G. Flushing dreams. A flushing dream. What is a flushing dream? A flushing dream, it cleanses us from day-to-day encounters that defile us spiritually. A flushing dream washes that stuff in our eye gate from all the ministry or all the people we've been around, and they've got all kinds of stuff, and we've been doing ministry for so many people, and maybe some of their stuff gets on us, and we need the Lord to give us a flushing dream to just kind of flush that off, to get it off of us, to wash that off of us so it doesn't start to stay on us and get inside of us. Does that make sense? Flushing dream is kind of like this. I have a grandmother, one of my grandmothers was a big smoker, heavy smoker, and if I walked into her room, I would get her smoke that was in her house all over my clothes. And when I left the house and went on through my day, I would smell like a cigarette just from being in her house, right? So I got something on me that I didn't really want, and it needed to be washed off in that way. That's a flushing dream. Let me give you another example. I was doing a big New Age event. There was a big New Age event that was going on. And I took a team with Streams, about 40, 50 people, to go in there and bring the light of the Lord in this New Age area and the truth of the Lord in this New Age area. And one of the people that came in, we had set up as a menu dream interpretation and prophetic words and physical healing in the name of Jesus and spiritual encounters, which is us just laying our hands and praying for everybody for a long time. So we were doing this kind of ministry, and this person comes in, and he's gay. This guy's gay, and he comes in with his boyfriend, and he sits down in the chair, and in these groups, there's about three people in each group that do ministry on the people. He just came in with the two guys. And we did all kinds of ministry. We interpreted dreams over these guys. We did all kinds of ministry over them. I mean, it went on for a long time. We did so much ministry on them. And in the end of it, one of them got saved. The other one left, the other guy. And so that one that got saved ended up hanging out with us for a little while to start to learn more about Jesus and so that we could connect him with the church. All kinds of stuff, wonderful stuff went on. But after that, I had this dream where real quickly I was washing through all this stuff. I could feel like water spewing through all this stuff, and it was all kind of mixed, and I kissed my brother. Now, I have two brothers, and I love my brothers, but not anything like that. It's not even in me. I can't even will myself to go there. That's not even in me. So that would be a flushing dream. It washed out that spirit of perversion from doing all that ministry because it got on me because it's messy. We can't see everything in the spirit, but when you're praying all kinds of stuff off and someone's getting saved who's in that lifestyle, stuff's everywhere. If you can imagine it in that spiritual place. And it washed off me. I had a flushing dream that washed it off of me. So the Lord kept me in that good place. So a flushing dream, you're always going to be the focus of the dream. You're not going to be watching something happening in a dream. In a flushing dream, you're going to be the focus of the dream, and you're going to wash something out. And I would probably put, and a flushing dream is a little bit different, but you can put this in the flushing dream category. If you have a dream, you're in your house, and you're in a bathroom, and you're going to the bathroom, you're getting a shower washed off, that would also be cleansing, getting rid of junk inside of you, but the shower washing stuff off from the day, washing the eye gate out so that you don't have an issue and it doesn't form something on your spiritual eyes or your spiritual ears. Does that make sense? Yeah. Perfect. Okay, number three is a calling dream. Number three is a calling dream. This means exactly what it sounds like. It means basically it's a dream about revealing your anointing or your calling or your vocation. Just like you see with certain people in Scripture that have this dream that points to their future, like Jacob. Sometimes even in these dreams, you can get renamed by the Lord, or he could add something to your name, or shift it a little bit. A lot of people get named because their identity points towards their purpose and destiny. So that calling dream will have some of that stuff in it sometimes for some people. But a calling dream is going to release you into your call with the Lord. Whatever that is, ministry or not, it's releasing you into your calling with the Lord. So let me give you a couple examples of this. I had a dream where there was a specific big minister. When I first got saved, I was kind of going, Lord, what am I called to do? You know, I'm sitting here in this situation where I'm playing professional soccer at this time. And I was so loved ministry and so felt the call to ministry, but I didn't want to just jump into something the Lord wasn't saying for me to do. I was completely engaged in church. I was under a spiritual mentor of mine that I was traveling with him. I was doing a lot in church. I was doing soccer ministry even. I'm doing all kinds of stuff, but I felt like I had a full-time call to the ministry and I was supposed to get out of playing soccer because it was just taking up so much time for me to do the ministry, and I felt like the timing was there. And so I was just asking the Lord about this kind of place, but I didn't want to jump in and just assume something that wasn't true. So I had this dream, and in this dream, there's this big minister. His name is Todd Bentley. At the time, you know, at the time he was a big, on fire young person doing ministry. And there's another guy in there called Paul Kane. I see a couple other people in there, and they're basically running this class. They're running this class. It's a small group of people, maybe about 12 to 14 people at the most. And I can't see all the faces of, I'm in this classroom, and he walks up to me, and I have a sheet, and I sign my life away, and I see on the sheet, it said basically, I signed my life away to step into full-time ministry. And when I gave him my sheet, that I made the full-time decision, and within my own heart, just like I did in my real life, but in the dream, when I made that decision in the dream and gave him, these ministers, my form, immediately I looked and I had a purple hat on and a purple wristband on my wrist. And that's talking about authority, purple, talking about authority. So there was something with my mind and understanding with authority. And I had authority here for just praying for people and all kinds of stuff like that. But that dream would be a calling dream. It helped me step into my call with the Lord. And so all other people in here, you can have calling dreams. I would even ask the Lord for, it doesn't have to be through a dream, but ask the Lord, what am I called to do? Speak to it. You could be in a car in a dream, and a car is talking about your vocation, your work, your purpose, and you could be riding in a car, and the Lord calls you to go minister from that car, from that place in a dream, because your purpose, your vocation is in the ministry. So whatever that looks like, ask the Lord, what is my call, Lord? I want to know my destiny like Joseph, because I want to step into it. I want to reach it, step into it, and then I want to be like Joseph. I want to father Pharaoh. I want to father the people of the world, right, in this position, because I've stepped into my destiny and my calling, and I'm doing it, Lord, and I'm going to manage it and bless the people the way you've called me to be. So a calling dream, that would be a calling dream. A warning dream, number four, a warning dream. A warning dream. This warns the dreamer not to do or to not continue doing certain things. You can have repetitive warning dreams. They seem different, but they are the same thing. So in other words, you could have a warning dream repetitively, and there's a little bit of a change, but it's still the same warning that's speaking in there. Does that make sense? So a warning dream, warning dreams are not bad dreams at all. People think that warning dreams are always going to be something that you're doing wrong, or you're wrong, or the whole shame and wrong thing, and that's not the way the Lord speaks. A warning dream is warning you from doing something, so if you keep doing it or going forward in that direction, you could fall in the pit. A big issue could happen. A situation could happen in your life you don't want. You could go into debt. You could lose your family or get a divorce or something of that nature. If you go down this road, the Lord warns you so that he'll keep you from it, so that you will still be in a good place. Warning dreams are very good. You want warning dreams because they tell you to stop when you really need to stop and go when you really need to go. So warning dreams are great dreams. They really help you out. They're for you. They're helpful. They're actually a joy because if something's saving you, you really want to know, right? Yes. A lot of people, now a simple warning dream can sometimes be, for example, a guy had a dream where he was driving around his car and he kept going faster and faster until it went off the side of the mountain or the hill and it crashed. And he said, "What does that mean?" I said, "This is a warning dream." And it says the work that you're doing, you're going too fast and you need to slow down or you'll go off your beaten path and you'll crash. You'll have like a crash, not like a literal crash, but a crash like maybe a mental crash or a physical crash because he's going too fast or doing too much at the wrong speed. And so he did. He cut his time down with all the work that he was doing and he didn't have a crash. And the Lord gave him another dream with him in a car. And in this dream, he was going 10 miles per hour. And 10 represents, it's the speed that he's going in the car. 10 represents, it's the number for the pastor or the pastoring on your journey. Does that make sense? So this time he was in a car in a dream and he was going the speed of the Lord at the Lord's rate that would help him in his life and on his journey. Does that make sense? Sounds good. Okay, so warning dreams are really good. Again, it's kind of like Pontius Pilate's wife. That was a good dream for Pontius Pilate, but he didn't listen to it. So number five is a false dream. A false dream. A false dream. These are dreams that the enemy uses to provoke or mislead you into believing or doing something contrary to God's will. A false dream. This is from the enemy. This is not from the Lord in any way. This is from the enemy. If there's an area of deception in you, the enemy knows it. It's like blood in the water. You know what I mean? If you function through a place of deception in some kind of way, the enemy will try to give you dreams and insinuate sometimes the deception. Does that make sense? In other words, Joseph Smith started the Mormon religion, right? Joseph Smith had a dream of an angel in it that gave him a dark revelation, right? Out of that dream, he started a cult, right? That would be a dream that's a false dream that came from the enemy to even encourage the deception that's in him. You see what I'm saying? Muhammad, who started Islam, right? That's a false dream with the angel. That is a false encounter. It encouraged and it built in and aided that deception. That's a false dream, aids a lie. It aids a lie. You can. Now, I was doing ministry in Africa, and we had all kinds of spiritual warfare going on. We had a witch doctor that kept showing up and trying to curse the church that I was doing the conference at. And, I mean, he was coming against me, spit at me. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And I had dreams that night, the night that he actually was cursing me and tried to spit at me. I had these dreams where I'm walking around, and the dreams are kind of dark and muted. Like, had that dark tone in it. And even the colors seemed tinted and dark in a way. And in the dream, all my family, my wife and my kids were all behind me, and I couldn't see them, and they were saying all kinds of lies and evil things about me. They were saying, "I don't love him, he's an idiot, he's stupid, he doesn't know what he's doing." Saying like the worst things behind my back. And that was a dream, that was a false dream trying to hurt my heart, hurt my feelings, limit me or stop me from moving forward with the kingdom of the Lord. And you can always tell false dreams because there's something in the eyes. Even my family in the dream, there was something dark in their eyes. Their eyes looked off. It didn't look the same in the dream. So that would be a false dream where the enemy's trying to manipulate or bring in a lie or deception about your life or your person or what you're doing. Does that make sense? Yes. Perfect. All right, let's move on. False dream to Body dreams. Let me say one thing about false dreams real quick that I noted that's just important. False dreams, for example, on multiple ministry times when I've gone to a place, I've had at certain periods of time at least, especially before I was married, I would always have someone come up to me and say, I had a dream that I was supposed to marry you. And that would be a false dream. Right. False dream. And even especially when I'm married, it'd be a false dream. And you would have, I would have multiple people come up to me and say, I had a dream I'm supposed to marry you. Do you want to go on a date after church? The kind of things like this. And I'd be like, no, I don't. You know what I mean? I don't even feel it. You know, I'm not even there. So sometimes that kind of vein can have false dreams in it. So you just got to really be careful with your soul. Your soul. Keep your soul, your mind, will, and emotions just in tune with the Lord so that you keep yourself from those false dreams. Keep your mind renewed. Continue on a daily basis to renew your mind in the Word. And I promise you, you won't have any false dreams if you continue to renew your mind and be healthy. The Lord will keep you from that. Proverbs 16:25 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, the way is to death. That's false dreams. Okay, number six, body dreams. Body dreams. These may come as a result of physical sickness, or this can, I've seen this happen with young people when there's like a testosterone jump in their life, they have body dreams, any real odd dreams that are not from the Lord, that it's just from their body. It's the stuff that's going on inside. It's the chemical makeup is going into a place that brings out sometimes, if not a lot, maybe for some people, these body dreams. They're not from the Lord. Your body can have these types of dreams. So let's say, let me give you another example. Oh, actually, let me give you this example. Women, a lot of times, that are in their third trimester, their dreams will be really weird. And the reason is because they're having body dreams. Their dreams are getting mixed because you have two people going on, especially that late in their trimester. And their child will start having dreams, and it'll mix over with your dreams. It'll be a body dream. You can have odd body dreams when you're pregnant. For example, a woman came to me one time, and they had an orange in the dream. There was an orange rolling at them, and the orange had all these little kids' arms and legs hanging out of the orange. And she didn't know what that means. She was like, what does this mean? Is this something with the fruit of the Spirit? What is this? And I said, no, she was almost about to have a baby, about a month off. I was like, no, it's a body dream. It's stuff that's happening because of chemically, you're having all kinds of things cross each other. A lot of body dreams will not have color in it at all. They'll usually be in black and white, or you won't remember any color in those dreams. Okay, number seven, chemical dreams. These can be dreams that are induced with drugs or alcohol, even food for some people. Large amounts of food or certain things with food can induce, because their body's more sensitive maybe, it can induce an odd dream or a weird dream. These would not be from the Lord. Obviously, they're chemical dreams. Prescription drugs, herbal teas and medication even on certain areas can induce a chemical dream that cannot be from the Lord. It doesn't mean that if you took medication and you have a big, colorful God dream, it doesn't mean that can't happen. It does mean that oftentimes chemicals that you take or are ingesting can affect your dreams, even stop your dreams. Ritalin, for example, Ritalin will totally stop your kid's dreams or your person's dreams. It tends to shut down certain areas, even limits your REM sleep, which is where we most of us dream. It will stop a lot of your dreams just by the chemical that's in your body. A lot of drugs will shut down dreams totally in your life. Or they'll give you odd dreams, really odd dreams in that sense. Number eight, self-conditioned dreams. Self-conditioned dreams. These are dreams that tell you where you stand with God. Self-conditioned dreams. Dreams that tell you where you stand with God. There are problem areas that might need to be addressed, ones that we are not aware of or that we are aware of. Self-conditioned dreams are really, really great, and they are truly the Lord pastoring you. Let me give you an example of self-conditioned dreams. This is maybe 4 years into first being saved. I was in my youth with just all this ambition and vision for life and all kinds of stuff. And I had this dream, and in the dream, I'm at a big house that I know is my house. And I see all these ministry leaders that are part of the church that I'm a part of. I mean, all the main leaders and some of the who's who of the leaders in that city, in that area. And they're coming over to my house. And I'm really excited, and I bring them all in the door, and I'm like, let me show you around my house. And I'm just so excited to show them all around my house. And the first room I take them to is this glassed-in room that has like a sliding glass door that you step into, and you see, you know, all kinds of stuff that's in there. So I pull all of them in there. I'm like, you got to see this room. It's amazing. And I open the glass door, and I welcome them all in there. And as they're filing into this glass-doored room, there is a giant pile of Ben & Jerry's ice cream that's going up like this. And the name of the Ben & Jerry's ice cream is Josh's Will. Josh's Will. The name of all this giant stacked up ice cream of Ben & Jerry's is Josh's Will. And I immediately saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I was like, get out of the room. I wanted to push them out the room because I didn't want to see them to see how much everything that I was doing was really my will, had nothing to do with their will or the Lord's will or anything. It was my will. I was pretty selfish at that time. Hopefully I'm growing out of it. So self-conditioned dreams, they help you know exactly where you are with the Lord. They can be super helpful. If you're in the dream, if you're the focus of the dream, which is a good portion of the time, recognize that the Lord is speaking to areas of selfishness and insecurity, or dreams where you're in a castle and you're running around the castle and you realize you're in a stronghold and you realize you have a stronghold. You know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have a stronghold. And in this area, I believe a lie. Like, I can't believe this. Self-conditioning dreams are liberating. They're freeing. They're the Lord speaking to you to help you grow and increase and renew your mind and move forward into who you're called to be. Self-conditioned dreams are great for you. Number 9, courage dreams. Courage dreams. Again, we've kind of talked about this before, but courage dreams are dreams that build you up. They just build you up. It's getting with the Midianite. They encourage you to go and step out and do something, maybe where you need a risk to do it. They encourage you so much to help you kind of move forward and get unstuck even. They help you overcome areas, bring down walls. Courage dreams are really, really wonderful because they're the Lord prophesying to you and building you up. They're the Lord prophesying to you and building you up. There's a famous soccer coach named Guardiola, who's now the coach of Man City. And I remember I was feeling so frustrated, like, am I losing how I'm supposed to do ministry? Am I losing really how I'm supposed to, what kind of minister or coach or leader I am for people to move forward? And in this dream, I see I see Guardiola, who's this wonderful, I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the world. He's very offensive-oriented as a coach, very high goals in soccer. So the Lord speaks to me through soccer people all the time because it's what I relate to. It's what I connect to. So someone else is probably going to have, like, dreams of football or dreams where you're playing baseball in it, and the Lord is speaking through the baseball game or the football game or the basketball game. But for me, it's the soccer game because it's what I understand and can connect to and relate to very easy. So in this dream, I am Guardiola, and I realize I'm doing all this ministry and this stuff, and it's helping all the people that are my players that work for me and are part of the works that I'm doing to be very, very offensive type of style, that my style is very offensive and moving forward. Because, and I said this in the dream, I said, I don't really believe in defense because the Lord is not on defense. He's always on the offense. So I'm an offensive style coach. That's my style. I'm always moving forward with the Lord. I'm in my present and my future all the time. I'm not really stuck in the past. I'm moving forward. That's my style of ministry. And when I realize this in the dream, the Lord pours out like $2 million, which two is representing for this multiplication. So amplified multiplication for me. So that was a big encouraging dream that kind of let me know what is going on with my life and what kind of person I am, but encourage me in what I'm doing, what I'm going for. So that's an encouragement dream. Number 10, correction dreams. Correction dreams. Are we good?
Yes.
We good? Is y'all taking this in? Correction dreams. Dreams that deal with attitudes and opinions. Dreams that deal with attitudes and opinions. These are very similar to self-conditioned dreams. Very similar to self-conditioned dreams, but they reveal God's grace and mercy. Very similar to a self-conditioned dream, they reveal the grace and mercy of the Lord to change something up so there isn't this judgment type thing. Does that make sense? If you have like this stronghold issue and there's this big thing that you're doing and you maybe you're not aware maybe of just how much you're doing something wrong. But I love this. I love correction dreams. I've had a lot of correction dreams from the Lord, and they've been wonderful to my life. But I want to know if I'm doing something wrong. Yes. Sometimes I'm so into myself that I don't see what I'm doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I need a correction dream from the Lord to straighten me up and to open up my eyes and realize what I'm doing is wrong, is unhealthy, and it's not good for my life or for the people that I'm helping, right? So correction dreams are a great dream, and the Lord can do this. Let me give this one correction dream example, because I love this one. This is of John Paul Jackson. And if you knew John Paul Jackson, not until late in his life was he more happy and joyful and very fatherly. In the beginning part of his life, he was, phenomenal prophetic voice. A phenomenal prophetic voice. He was with John Wimber and just all kinds of people, just a phenomenal prophetic voice. But he was very stern, very strong-willed, and he never laughed. You would never see him laugh for years. And this is not too long ago. This is just, in the 2000s. But he has this dream, and in the dream, his father is at the end of a table, and he's at one side of the table, and there's all these big ministry leaders, some of the biggest ministry leaders of the country and of the world, and to a degree, at this table, and his father's at the end. And in real life, John Paul Jackson's father would say these jokes, and he thought they were kind of stupid, and he never wanted people to laugh back to him about it, because it would so encourage him to keep telling jokes, and he'd just keep going. So that's the real life context. In the dream, his dad is at the end of the table with all these leaders, and he cracks a joke about John Paul Jackson. And John Paul Jackson, in his mind and in his heart, starts to laugh. He's like, God, that's pretty funny. And he starts to laugh. And so his dad says another joke, and he's wrestling inside of himself. He's like, oh gosh, don't laugh, because he's going to keep going and embarrass me in front of all these ministry leaders. And so he starts to laugh, and his dad says another joke about him, and it's really funny, and he falls on the ground laughing really hard. And all of a sudden, he says, something came in him that's never come in him before. And it was a funny joke retort to his dad's joke about him. And he said it out of his mouth, and it made him laugh even harder. And he was trying to go back and forth, because he's like, I'm so embarrassed in front of these leaders, but it's so funny. And he kept having all this joy come out of him, and he started rolling around so hard he couldn't stop laughing. Like, he could feel it in his stomach when he woke up from the dream. He was laughing so hard in the dream. And his dad was standing over him as he's rolling around on the dream, and he says, son, quit taking yourself so seriously. And from that moment on, John Paul started to add jokes and joy into his ministry, and it really changed his ministry and grew his ministry even more, because he stopped living a life so angry and upset, like the end times are always in front of us, right? Yes. So that was a correction dream. Direction dream, number 11. Direction dream, just look at those first two chapters of Matthew. Most of those are direction dreams and guiding dreams for Joseph and Mary. Those are direction dreams. They help you in day-to-day kind of situations. If you're going through transitions or down halls or tunnels in a dream, those are helping you go a certain direction to the right transition, right? Direction dreams are great. I've had loads of direction dreams, thankfully. I had one direction dream where my spiritual father looked at me and said, it's time to go to Holland. That's when I knew it was time to go to Holland. They're straightforward sometimes. Sometimes direction dreams, you're in the car or in a vehicle of some sort, and you're going to a specific place. Maybe you show up at a specific church, and you've never heard of the church before, but then farther later in the future, you see the church that you saw in your dream, and you realize you're supposed to be a part of that church. So direction dreams are really wonderful. Number 12, intercession dreams. Intercession dreams. Intercession dreams. These happen mostly when you're not the focus of the dream, but you're usually in a high place looking at a situation. You're at a high place looking at a situation, and you're seeing a perspective from the Lord so that you can intercede for that situation. Now, in general, I think you should pray about all dreams, but these are specific intercession dreams, and you'll wake up. There are a lot of times they're very colorful and bright, and you have that sense of urgency in you when you wake up, like, I want to pray for that situation. It really touched your heart or hurt your heart, and you really want to speak in and pray for that situation. That's an intercession dream. They can be kind of vivid and colorful, but you're usually not the focus of the dream, or you could be the focus of the dream and move to a high place and back into the middle, but then you end on the high place looking down at the dream. That's an intercession dream. Number 13, prophetic dreams. Prophetic dreams. You guys know what these are. They're talking about the future. They're speaking into the future. It's the Genesis 15, the Lord giving Abraham a dream and talking about his future. It's the Daniel 7, the Lord speaking to Daniel about the future. It's these prophetic dreams that are going into the future. A lot of my prophetic dreams, that at least starting off for me, I would have these newspapers roll up like this, like the New York Times or some of the Times something or the Washington Post. These newspapers would be thrown. I wouldn't see the thrower, but I'd see these newspapers rolling at me, and they would land in front of me, and they would say certain things on the newspaper, or I'd only see half the newspaper or one of the columns of the newspaper or someone's specific face and something written under it about that person. Those were prophetic dreams for me. Prophetic dreams are talking about the future. They have a future element in them. Dark dreams. These are devoid of color, devoid of color. Dark dreams are devoid of color. This is an example of a dark dream in Job 4, 12 through 19. And this is dark dreams, they come from the enemy. They come from the enemy in general. Job 4, 12, Job chapter 4, verse 12 through 19 says, "Now a word was brought to me stealthily." This is a person, a specific friend of Job talking to Job. "My ear received the whisper of it amid thoughts from visions of the night, when deep sleep falls of men. Dread came upon me and trembling, which all made my bones shake. Then I heard a voice, 'Can mortal man be the right before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? Even his servants he puts no trust, and his angels he charges with error. How much more those who dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is in dust, who are crushed like the moth?'" The enemy wanted to discourage Job and his friends. This enemy gives dark dreams, or dreams that are from him, and they speak something that's not true to a person or a specific situation that could be in your life. An example of this was, I had a particular person, I've had this happen a bunch of times doing ministry evangelism with dreams, but I had a particular girl in London, England that came up to me, and she had a dream where Voldemort from Harry Potter, who's a bad guy, who's very bad, who's like the devil in Harry Potter, he's in her dream, and he keeps trying to bring her. Her mother keeps trying to pull her and bring her down to this room that's below, and Voldemort is in there. And she says, "What is this dream?" And I ask her, is your mother into witchcraft? And she said, "Yes." And she wants me to do it. And I said, "Listen, that witchcraft is what the Voldemort is. It's bringing you into a dark place. You don't want to go there. That's a dark dream. It's a bad dream. Do the opposite and run away from it." Does that make sense? Dark dreams. Dark dreams. Spiritual warfare dreams. These are dreams where usually there's some form of attack towards us. There's some form of attack towards you. You could be guns are being shot at you, or you turn around and you shoot your gun like a cowboy, and the bullet falls off and falls to the ground. These can be where you have bees or hornets trying to attack you. Those are bad spiritual warfare dreams. They're very difficult to deal with. You could have a shark attack. A shark tries to come and comes after you, and you wake up from it. That can be a spiritual warfare dream of an attack trying to happen on your life. That can happen in reality, and that can happen in just your spiritual life. Spiritual warfare dreams are usually when you're being attacked in some form. They could happen about internal situations, like where you're having spiritual warfare internally about stuff in your life, or they can be about stuff that you're part of externally. Those can be spiritual warfare dreams. So you're usually being attacked some way in that spiritual warfare dream. Fear dreams. Fear dreams is next. Fear dreams are dreams that empower fear. They happen with night terrors or to children often. Their dreams, fear dreams, are there to empower fear, so the child or the person wants to stop doing that spiritual thing, or not be open to dreams and visions anymore in the spiritual life, or not move forward with certain things in their life. Let's say they've been in a car wreck and they had fear from that car wreck, and that fear got really deep inside of them, and they have dreams that are of in cars all the time, and they're deathly afraid of this dream and this car. That could be a fear dream from a situation that happened in your life, or the enemy trying to insinuate fear into your life so you're limited or paralyzed from moving forward. Some fear dreams you will have, you're waking up in the morning and it feels like something heavy is on your chest, and the hand of it is trying to put its hand over your mouth, and you're trying to call out Jesus or something like that, and you feel a heaviness on your chest. That is a fear dream. That's a spirit of fear trying to hold you or stop you from saying Jesus are moving forward in your life. Does that make sense? If people had, actually a lot of people can sometimes have these dreams where something heavy is on their chest, and that fear dream is trying to cause bad fruit. That's one of the big reasons why you know when it's not the Lord, is it's bad fruit. There's anxiety there. You feel something trying to paralyze you in those dreams. That's a fear dream. 17, invention dreams, kind of like Albert Einstein. Invention dreams. Number 18, word of knowledge dreams, just like the man with the machinery. Word of knowledge dreams are wonderful. Actually, people have a lot of word of knowledge dreams, and they think that it's prophetic dreams, but it's really a word of knowledge dream about something with a specific situation in a person's life. And maybe you can prophesy over that person, but word of knowledge dreams happen very often. Sometimes people think they're prophetic dreams, but they're really word of knowledge dreams. The three wise men trying to come to King Herod, they had a word of knowledge dream, for example, to not return to King Herod because he had evil intent. Word of knowledge dreams. Deliverance dreams, where you literally get delivered in a dream. I've heard a lot of these dreams. I had a friend of mine that had a dream, and his wife had the dream. He had the same dream in the middle of the night, and the wife in the dream watched this green stuff coming off of his back, and she knew he was getting deliverance. He had a heroin problem when he got saved. And it was literally, he was getting deliverance from chemicals coming off of him, and he felt completely good the next day. He was like, honey, I had this crazy dream, and I feel fantastic. I have no urges or impulses. I don't feel that thing that kind of pulls me like an energy towards drugs again. I don't have that taste anymore from this dream. She's like, I know, I had the dream, the same dream. I watched it. That's a deliverance dream. Soul dreams, 20. This is the last part of the categories I'm going to talk about. But a soul dream. Those are kind of what I talked about a little bit earlier when you kind of dream your own dreams. They come from your soul. I talked about during the family camp on Dreaming with God, I talked about a dream where someone wanted to be on American Idol. They loved American Idol. They watched American Idol all the time. They thought their goal was to be on American Idol. And they came to me with a dream. It was a young man. And in the dream, he was on American Idol. And he walked up to Jennifer Lopez, right? Jennifer Lopez. And he walks up to Jennifer Lopez and he says, give me your agent, Jennifer Lopez, because I need it, because I'm blowing up. I'm blowing up on American Idol. I'm just blowing up with everything. Give me your agent. Then he sees Simon Cowell and he walks up to Simon and he says, listen, I need your agent too, because I'm blowing up so big on American Idol. I'm going to more than win this thing. I need your agent because I'm making so much money and so many people love me. And that was basically the end of the dream. And I asked him, do you do worship? Because he's part of the church. I said, no. I was like, do you do music? He's like, man, I sing in the bathroom all the time. And I was like, man, this is a dream from your soul. You're dreaming your own dreams. It's from your heart's desire of something you've been focusing on so much that it got in you. Your desires got in you, and you dreamed your own dream from your own soul. And the dream was in black and white, mostly gray tone, but black and white. And so I knew even more so that that was a soul dream from himself. Sound good? That's 20 categories of dreams. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. Let me do one thing before we get out of here. Is this okay? We good? I know y'all are probably hungry by this time. It's about 10 till 1. But I hope you got a lot of good stuff out of this and you start to understand and identify your dreams when the Lord speaks to you and that the Lord starts to speak to you more often because now you're aware of it and you can identify it and see it when he speaks to you in that way. But let's do this. Can everyone stand up real quick?